Gentlemen, Patrick Roycey joining us here. We have breaking Twins news to start our discussion. Wow, that's like the second time in a week we've had breaking Twins news to start here.
All right.
Jason Castro, former Twins catcher, has announced his retirement.
All right.
Retiring.
I think I saw that a couple of days ago that it was coming, but it maybe it became official now.
Yes, Jason Castro spent 3 years with the Minnesota Twins between 2017 and 2019. He was part of the infamous Bomba Squad, contributing 13 bombas in 2019.
Did he really hit 13 that year? Wow.
Yes, he did.
Well, he was like the first acquisition of the new regime, right?
Yep.
We had to have a guy who could frame pitches. Wasn't right. that
trick those umpires?
Yeah, uh-huh. It was. We were big on Jason Castro as going to improve the pitching staff considerably because he could steal those two pitches a game that can be completely vital.
Jason Castro was such a great pitch framer. He made $51.5 million playing baseball.
Wow.
Mostly between the Twins and the Astros. Good mm-hmm. for Jason Castro.
Yes, yeah. That was
The other Twins news, I guess, that we could get to is that there's a ton of reporting from Ken Rosenthal, John Heyman, that not only are they very much all in on trying to get Carlos Correa back, and by the way, Trey Turner just signed an 11-year, $300 million contract to set the market with the Phillies, but that they're also open to trading Luis Arraez and then in subtext, Max Kepler, not quite as valuable, for pitching. So it sounds like the Twins are down there open for business, Pat. What are you thinking about
they're not, they don't. There's things they don't like about Arraez, right? I mean, they don't want to pay him. It doesn't, I don't know what, he's the one guy that gives him an at bat, and he's also probably the most popular player they have right now. And, I said this to Judd yesterday, Miranda is going to turn out to be a hack at third. Okay. He's not very good in the field. I don't think they let themselves get fooled. And once pitching catches up with him, he'll hit about 230 this year, and then we're going to be saying, why is suddenly Arraez not valuable when he can play three positions? You know, he did okay at first. He'll do okay at second, and he's no worse than Arraez, than Miranda's going to be at third. He didn't play third well last year, but I don't quite understand the where they're headed here with their infielders. Once they let Urshela go and now they want to let Arraez go, it's like they think they have depth here, even if they get Correa back, which I don't think they will. I still don't think they will, but I don't know. It seems like a stupid – tell me what pitcher they're going to get. I heard yesterday, Eovaldi. Do you really want to trade Luis Arraez for Eovaldi?
How many years left on Eovaldi's contract?
I don't know. Who wants him? He makes 22 starts a year. You know, it's I don't know. It would be very stupid if you ask me. But there's something about him they don't like. I don't know what it is. They're not. He doesn't run great. But
I think they hate his defense, and I think they think maybe this is the best you're going to get, and so this is a great time to sell
feel
high.
Like they're trading. Yeah, but okay, we're going to sell high, and it's Eovaldi. That ain't high. Yeah. That's not high to me. That's not high.
No.
So if you can't do better than that, then it better be somebody who's a difference maker. And, you know, they'll get Eovaldi. He'll make 22 starts. He'll be good 12 times. And that'll be another mess that they've created. But I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing with their infielders. And by the way, they don't have any outfielders either, so that's kind of a problem. So, yeah, I think they should take 78 right now and be happy. Isn't that what they won this year, 78?
I think it was somewhere in that neighborhood, no, right? Judd, 78.
I got them for fifth in the division right now. And by the time they get done making their moves here, they could get worse instead of better. Now Rodon supposedly is
Rent.
Huh?
I said they're in. I saw it.
They're always in.
We're in Baltimore, and the Twins are the surprise teams on Rodon. No one saw this.
Are there any mystery teams? Are there any mystery teams?
That comes after the surprise teams come up.
Okay, actually, I saw a great report last night. I think it was from our guy, Bob Nightingale. And this is the time of year, because this is the winter meetings. This is where all the top reporters are hiding in the lobby around the elevator corridors.
They get behind the plants.
Yep. Kenny Rosenthal is hiding behind a plant.
Yep.
And Bob Nightingale, USA Today, longtime MLB insider. And I'm not ripping him. He probably didn't even write this headline, but this is the type of headline I live for at the winter meetings. It says, San Francisco Giants confidence is quietly growing in Aaron Judge sweepstakes.
Quietly growing.
Their confidence is quietly. They're just sitting in the corner. Quiet. Yes. Confident. Confidence quietly, growing.
So quietly growing means if it happens, you're a genius. And if not, well, I said it was quiet. You know?
Yeah. Right, exactly. What does it mean? How is it quietly growing? My confidence is growing, but
don't tell anyone.
I've seen loud. Bob in action at the winter meetings. He's a friend of mine. He likes the evening part of the winter meetings. Oh,
that's where you get your information. Go get the assistant GM about six cocktails in.
Combine's the same way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the old finding the GMs drunk in the hotel is quite as popular as it used to be. I don't know. I haven't been there. My favorite winter meeting ever was the one I covered in Boston. One, I don't know why, all of a sudden in the 90s. When did Chris Clouser get run out of here? When was the Cliff Clouser era?
Late 90s, right?
No, it was TK, right?
Yeah.
He was going to get rid of TK, and then TK stayed, and he left for 2001.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to check to see where the winter meetings were in 01 or 02 for one of those, but I was there. And all of a sudden, the Boston Sheraton was in the lobby, and all these baseball people in the lobby. And Clouser comes walking in. And I said, "Who the hell hired you?" And he said, "Oh, I'm back at the," he was back at the airline or something, but he happened to be staying at the winter meetings hotel, and it looked like he was strolling in to retake power with the Twins, which he had for about 9 months there. So I haven't been there for so long. I don't know how if it's the chaos that it used to be, but you got to have those rumors. I was I telling you yesterday, Joe Judd, we would we would get together as in the 70s, we would get together as beat writers and make a couple of trades in the morning, and then Reich's up and start drinking about 3 p.m, so if it happened after that, they had to find us to tell us, so that was a little different world.
I covered three winter meetings about 10 years ago, and I think it was in Dallas was the winter where it was Billy Smith's last winter as GM. Mm-hmm. And Tsuyoshi Nishioka was one of the big questions about who's going to get this batting champion Japanese shortstop. And I remember I was sitting in kind of the front foyer area just on my computer using the Wi-Fi, and Billy Smith walked in the front door, and no fewer than 20 Japanese media members swarmed him as he walked in to pepper him with questions about where is Nishi? Are you going to sign Nishi? And that worked out well.
This big trade is open at the winter. Yeah, at the winter meetings, the first big trade is made. You know what? It gets broken, don't you? The log jam gets broken. It used to be
the log jam.
Used to be the big joke. Okay, somebody traded for Benintendi or something. The log jam has
We're
been
signing
broken.
Now. Does the exact same thing.
You look back at the. You look back at the AP leads, the logjam was always broken about Tuesday afternoon after everybody sat around and drank.
Trey Turner signing has really opened the floodgates, Patrick.
Yes.
It's opened the floodgates.
Yes, the floodgates get opened, and the floodgates get opened, and the logjam gets broken.
The Trey Turner contract is interesting. So on paper, you see, oh, my God, $300 million over 11 years. He's at least a year older than Carlos Correa. And you can make a case that maybe Trey Turner's the better player or whatever, but they're both really good players.
I don't believe that. I don't believe he's a very good shortstop, and Correa is a great shortstop.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. But he's so it looks like the contract is spread out unless something gets changed, you know, in the structure of it. It's an average annual value of $27 million through his age 40 season. Well, right now, $27 million would make him the 18th highest paid player, and there's probably going to be a couple other guys that sign him for more. Mm-hmm. So if that's the way that like a 10-year contract would be structured for Correa, and you're paying him, let's say, $27 or $28 million, that's still way more money than he's probably worth when he's 40 years old. But it's not like the Pujols contract from 10 years ago where, you know, I can live with paying a guy $25 or $27 million in 2031, I guess is what I'm saying, yeah, if he's not very good anymore.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Correa's going to want 36 again a year. So it's going to have to be a shorter. He's going to have to be willing to take 6 years here, right, for that number, 6-7 years. He's not going to take 28. He wants to have the most annual money for any shortstop. I talked about that the other day. So the big deal coming here for 36 was the number had to be higher than Corey Sager's as far as the one-year deal was concerned. As far as the highest for the single season, and that's going to be the deal here. So they're going to have to go past this, certainly on a yearly basis to get Correa. But you know what? All the rumors about the Twins and Correa tell me, the market isn't that hot for them. That's what it tells me.
Because we've had like four reports that, okay, they all got dinner a couple nights ago. And then last night, the Twins spent the night locked in their suite talking about Correa.
And they're going to meet with him again.
It's like,
we're going to have another dinner.
Okay.
It's going to be outstanding. Surf and turf here.
So he's either going to sign today or they're just using the Twins as leverage.
A ton of shortstops, though.
I happened to be in the vehicle yesterday afternoon and I heard on MLB radio that Rocco was coming up. So Rocco, I listened to Rocco's hard-hitting interview, and he talked about that they'd met with him. They had a really wonderful meal, and they're going to meet with him again. And then they were talking about some dessert place in Dallas that Rocco recommended. I mean, these guys want to. When they do these interviews, it's all, you know, how friendly they are with Rocco and stuff like that. And they had a good. We know that they did meet somewhere in San Diego and had a good meal. I thought they might have went to In-N-Out, but they didn't. They went and they had a real good meal someplace. So we know that. So.
I feel like this is also though at the end going to be a typical Twins. We tried really hard.
Yes.
Until they prove otherwise.
But in the past, their in-ons have been kind of like not big A-bomb type, you know, stuff. Like this is, they're much more public with this than they have been at any other time. That will only increase the ridicule when they don't get him, right?
I think the difference is this is their player, though. Like he got dropped in their lap, and they need to make this look good. Because it's not like a guy from the Cardinals who you casually talk to and say, we tried. This is their guy. So I think it ups the stakes of trying to make it look really good.
Yes, but again, if they don't get him, then the Twins right now have created a groundswell of public ridicule that will just heighten with this
Wait, here come the Timberwolves down the backstretch. The Timberwolves are catching up. The Timberwolves have passed the Twins.
Timberwolves are great teams. I was reading today, we've lost our leadership.
Where'd you read that, Pat?
Read it in our paper. We lost. Leadership isn't the problem. You know, guarding somebody is a problem, and a few other things are a problem, and rebounding. How about going and getting one of the league's best rebounders, and you can't rebound? What the hell?
He's the only one that rebounds. It's insane. Right? It's like, okay, we got Rudy, so now, no, you're going to have to grab like 50 rebounds tonight.
Yes, that's Rudy. That's
awesome. He'll get you 12 or 15, okay?
Yeah. Rudy didn't get suspended, did he? I haven't seen anything. I thought he might get suspended.
No, D'Lo got fined for saying something untoward toward an official.
Yes. What is the untoward? What does it have to be? Do you have to directly tell him he's a bleep and bleeper?
I think if it's directed in the you form, say, you are a if it's yeah, if you personalize
I mean, you can say that was a horse bleep call you, but then if you say you dumb bleeper.
I think if you you say you're acting like a dumb bleep, you can create some separation there.
Yeah.
I was told by someone who would know that he might have questioned the official's integrity as far as who said official wanted to win the game.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you fined. Yeah.
So if you call an official Tim Donaghy or something.
It's weird to get ejected without a technical, like, going into it, right? Like, he didn't get double teed. He got immediately ejected.
Oh, he just, okay.
So it was like, technical, you're out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's rare.
That's aggressive. Yeah.
We really felt that somebody was rooting for Oklahoma City because of their prestige as an NBA franchise.
Underdog, perhaps he had a couple of bets with our friends.
Oh, God. What a disaster.
Speaking of
the Twix, what do you reasonably, if it's not Correa, it's not, what do we want him to come back here with? I mean, it's not like all deals are made at the winter meetings anymore either. They set the stage and they do this. But there is some hint here that they're not afraid of a $160 million payroll or $170 million payroll. Don't you think, don't you get some kind of a hint like that, that they're going to, that the payroll is going to be higher than the 140 it was this year?
Maybe. I feel like, I guess if they land two of these guys, then yes. But do you think, like, let's throw Carlos Rodon out there, because that's another name that the Twins are linked to Carlos Rodon, who's one of the best starting pitchers in the game. He's 29. Would they land two of these guys? Would they, if they landed Correa, would that be kind of it? And now they're looking at, you know, second tier options, or would they? Because I think what would turn a lot of fans around here, and I think what would get, you know, idiots like us talking more Twins, mm-hmm. you know, like we did a few years ago, is, all right, if you're serious, like you said, push the payroll to 160, go get a pitcher, go get Carlos Correa,
yeah,
and hang on to Luis Arraez,
yeah,
and let's see what happens.
The Arraez thing, I can't be about money, though, right? Although supposedly they did offer him one of their cheap long-term deals like they gave Polanco and Kepler a few years ago, and he turned it down before last season. And maybe that, I don't know, maybe they just don't feel like, they don't feel he's as valuable as everybody else does. But, again, the sell high thing, I read that today, and I keep reading it. They want to sell high. Well, of all the isn't high. The other guy, who else? They might be making trading with Cleveland and get Plesac. You want Plesac for him?
No, Plesac's a complete head.
That's one of the things I heard. Plesac. You know?
Really?
I mean, because I don't think Cleveland likes Plesac because he's a moron.
Yeah, he's a ding dong.
He's doing idiotic stuff. So that's. That would be an interesting trade, by the way. If you make another trade with Cleveland, suddenly Cleveland's become the trade partner here, which is kind of weird, isn't it?
They're your old buddies.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. I never thought of that. But yeah, I don't know. I still give him 20% chance to sign Correa. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't think he wants to play here. Too big in right field. No chance to win. I don't think he wants to play here.
Well, and if you break this down, so based on the reporting so far, the Twins' attention has been very much tied up in meeting with Correa, meeting internally about Correa in the last few days. They know what, I'm assuming that there's been offers that have been kicked around back and forth. So the Twins know what the price tag is now, and either if it's the Twins, I think it'll get done this week. And if it doesn't get done this week, then you're right. Then Scott Boras was just using the Twins to drum up Cubs, Giants, you know, see where Judge lands, and that, you know, where does the extra money free up?
Why would Judge possibly go to San Francisco? His home run total is reduced by 15. as soon as he changes that into that ballpark? Or what's he going to do? They're going to move the water in?
Just release it.
They're going to let some more water in? And
the tide is changing quite a bit. I think he's from California. Yeah, he is from Fresno. So
in the area.
I don't know if living closer to, you know, I guess where you're from matters to him. Maybe he
if
doesn't.
Judge decides though. Guess what? The logjam is broken, and Correa then could go to the Yankees. Like they're supposedly waiting.
That's true.
If Judge takes their cash, they'll be happy.
And
if
then
he
you know who our shortstop will be?
Who?
Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
Trade for IKF.
We're going to get IKF. That's who we're going to end up. We didn't get Correa, but we got the guy that we thought we were going to have before Correa. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. At least we have Twins Fest coming up at the Fillmore here, damn it.
I love the fact that they've totally altered it. Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, IKF, a year late, but still a very solid addition.
We'll be next to Michael Restovich over in the autograph tent for the next 3 hours. Pat, the Vikings are 2.5 point underdogs right now.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're the Lions. Deep in your heart, remember this, people. They're the Lions. They're going to come over and turn it over three times in the first quarter because this is a big opportunity for the Lions to do something, and they're going to do what the Lions always do, puke. They're going to throw up right on their shoes. They're going to turn it over right off the bat three different times. I remember when Schwartz, he had them all fired up for that 1 year, and then they were, boy, look out, here we come, and they ended up throwing up all over themselves for about five straight games. They're the Lions. They will screw up.
They can smell that playoff spot. They're only two games back.
They're 6-6-8, 5-8?
5-7.
Well, no, they can't have five left because everybody else got four left, right? How many? What are we? We're 10-2. Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. 5-7.
Yeah, okay. And they get Vikings, Jets. They have the Panthers, Bears, and then a checked out Packers team. So there's a path here for the Lions.
If they win four, they got to win four out of five, right? They got to win four out of five. Get the nine.
I would think if they win four out of five, they're definitely
nine and six. Well, I don't know. The Vikings. Is this the Vikings' best chance to lose the rest of the way?
This is probably the only game they're going to be underdogs, right? I don't think they're going to be underdogs at home against the Colts or the Giants. They're not going to be underdogs at Chicago.
Colts are terrible.
They're not going to be underdogs in any other game.
What if this team goes 15-2? What the hell? Where did that come from? This is going to be one of the great. Where did that come from? Seasons. It's like the Twins hitting 100 more home runs than any team in history in 2019. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
And this is going to be 15-2, 14-3. What happened? It's extremely weird. It's not as simple as sending Zim back to the ranch. There's something else going on there.
There's some rumors that Mike Zimmer might be the defensive coordinator for Deion Sanders in Colorado.
Yeah, Tim Brewster, tight ends coach.
Wasn't he in consulting?
He's been consulting.
Zimmer. Brew's there, right?
Brew's being kept, though.
Yeah. Well, hell yes. Brew can recruit. This is Deion will only stay there a year, right? Because somebody else will, if he comes in and makes this big splash. But no greater welcoming speech by the new coach to his team than telling them all to transfer because they are a bunch of losers.
Get in the portal. Get in that portal.
I'm going to the portal. You guys don't get the hell out of here. What a loose cannon that guy is.
He said, for 20 years, these fans have been disappointed by you.
Yeah.
It's like some 18-year-old kid. What?
Yeah, he's right about that. But he's not gonna snip away at cutting the cord with these guys. He might be cutting them in the middle of practice, right? The old Bear Bryant legend when he first came to Texas A&M and he took them all up to some steamy ranch and beat the hell out of them and send half of them packing on their way. That's probably what Dion's going to – he's going to just tell them to leave in the middle of practice and never come back.
It's yes.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. All right, Pat, we got to get going here. So we'll get back in touch with you here once the Twins sign both Carlos Rodon and Carlos Correa here.
They were in. They were right there.
The next time I happen to be in an establishment eating dinner or something and I'm walking through a bar or something, if you can come up to – if they sign Correa and you come up to me and said, hey, you're the first two people to come up to me and say – the Twins signed Correa, I'll buy you a couple of high-priced drinks because I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. All right.
Good to know.
There it is. There it is. All right, Pat. We'll see you.
Bye.
Wrapping with Royce here on the Score North YouTube channel and Mackie and Judd.